to the Biblical Entrepreneurship Marketplace Podcast. We're so excited that you can be with us. We're going to be talking about what God is doing in the marketplace. And now, our host, Patrice Sege.
Welcome to the Biblical Entrepreneurship Marketplace Podcast. I'm Patrice Sege, your host. I am here in Orlando, Florida, at the headquarters of the Hope Church with Bishop Wiggins. Bishop Wiggins is the senior pastor of the Hope Church. He's also really an entrepreneur, a social developer. Is that a good way to say it, Bishop?
Social entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Bishop uses economic development and business to facilitate the advance of the ministry and the advance of the gospel. Bishop also recently was ascended, is that the right word, Bishop? Ascended to the archbishopric of a international bishop organization. So talk to us about that. Now, part of why I wanted to talk to Bishop today is because Bishop has been a long-standing partner of the Name My Project, a committed supporter of biblical entrepreneurship, also a champion for the Urban Initiative. Bishop actually is the one that initiated a commitment to our Urban Initiative strategy. It was actually because of him challenging me personally that we've done that. So Bishop, you probably should write a check to support that whole effort, but that's another story. Bishop, welcome to our studio.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Well, Bishop, I'm here in the office, and actually the building that you own, this is one of many buildings that you own. You're probably the largest landholder in this community, this city. Am I right?
Not quite accurate, but maybe in this urban community.
In this urban community. I mean, you own how many apartment complexes?
Well, we house about 250 different families.
Families.
We have about 5 different apartment complexes and maybe about 20 single family homes.
Wow. And on top of that, you have a church right here.
On top of that, we have about 3 churches located within 4 blocks, which we call Hope Center West, our campus. And of course, we are sitting in the mall that houses about 20 to 25 businesses, small businesses on the first floor and professional office suites on the second floor, of which we're in one of those suites now. And then, of course, our school, we are a part of what we call the Seamless Educational Pipeline, starting with 6 weeks old, all the way up through 8th grade.
Wow. And then on top of that, you also have the after-school program. What's that called?
We have Frontline Outreach, which is one of our strategic, we call them alliance partners, which, of course, is a world-class recreational center that, has everything. We just renovated the gymnasium, so it's new basketball courts, swimming pool, soccer.
Wow.
Court, you know.
And you're the chairman of the board.
I am the chairman of the board.
You kind of came in and rescued that organization.
We came in at a time when the organization was going through some tremendous challenges, and God gave us favor and gave us the resources to be able to capture that organization and provide leadership. And now we're full in terms of our early learning piece. We have early Head Start as well as Head Start in that facility. So we house about 150 kids pre-K.
Wow. And then Bishop, you also, Walmart is also your tenant.
Well, actually Walmart is one of our partners on the campus. That was actually a purchase.
Oh, is that right? That was so Walmart owned, you sold that piece of property to Walmart?
I sold them that piece of property, of course, on behalf of the church.
Yeah.
And we retained the out parcels. And hopefully in the next month or two, we'll be making an announcement about the out parcels.
With Walmart or another developer?
Without Walmart.
Wow. I mean,
two other brand name organizations.
Of course, you never announced it yet. I would have said you heard it here first, but that's not going to happen. But that's okay. But at least you heard it here that this is happening. Now, Bishop, when you brought Waltmar to the community, how many jobs did that create?
Well, first of all, when we brought Waltmar here or encouraged them to come, it was because we recognized that our campus was located in a food desert. Mm-hmm. And a food desert is where you cannot get fresh fruits and vegetables within a mile to 2 mile radius. Mm. So within a mile to 2 mile radius, there were, I believe the population was about 12,000. If you go 2 to 3 miles out, the radius population was about 50,000. And so it was until you went just beyond 3 miles that you started seeing all of the brand name grocery stores and amenities. And we were able to make that argument to Waltmar, and that's what really, I believe, was the hook that got them to come and move into our community. But with the hook of health and wellness, it brought economic impact.
That's right.
Because when they came in, they needed about 75 jobs or so to operate that location. But just so happened at that same time, they were putting up two other locations. And we were able to serve as the hub for employment, which resulted in about 300 to 400 jobs.
Wow. So Waltmar, with that partnership, 300 to 400 jobs, you personally, through the church and your economic development activity, schools, you employed a total of?
Oh, if we count what Waltmar did, let's just call that 400 jobs with Waltmar. Aside from them, we probably provide jobs for about 150 people.
Wow.
On our campus.
Wow.
And that includes all of the teaching staff, all the janitorials, the maintenance staff, the management staff, the development, wow, the secretaries.
Oh, my that. Goodness.
So it's about 150.
So about a third of 550 jobs combined. Not only that, but then you do a lot of development.
Yes.
You, as a matter of fact, you've been critical in providing a major contract to one of the biblical entrepreneurs. And you've encouraged and insisted at least employ some of the contractors from this community. So with that, these are other opportunities. I'm sure that you do that for them, but also I'm sure you insist for all your vendors.
Well, listen, I am a kingdompreneur, and I do believe in bringing people in to the fold that have the right mindset in terms of ushering resources and wealth back into the kingdom of God. I believe when the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, that sometimes it takes the just to be in position so that God will release that wealth that's available. So in this case, we had an apartment complex that was going through full renovation, and we knew of one of the people that were associated with the Nehemiah Project and a contractor. And heard his story, was touched by his story, and thought that it would be great for him to literally bid on the project. So, of course, we did everything we could legally to help him to win. And we were just so glad that God showed him favor, and we were able to select him to be the contractor.
Wow, and that created other jobs. So, Bishop, let's go back a little bit. So, school, after-school program, three churches on property, apartment complex, Waltmar as a partner. I mean, you are not only an entrepreneur, a pastor, a leader, and then, you're a whole lot of things. How do you do it?
There is a word that I'm still learning. It's called balance. Mm. First of all, I have to really balance the several different gifts that God has given, even when he gave out the many talents in the Word of God.
You probably got five of them. Bishop's a five-talent man.
But you know, that passage is really about management. Mm. Because if you can manage what God is giving you, he'll multiply. Amen. And if you really want to get something done, give it to somebody doing 10 other things.
I will say.
So I've had to really, really concentrate on balance and really look at strengthening my infrastructure, my staff, learning how to switch from being a micromanager to a macromanager, still having checks and balances in place. But, you know, you get what you inspect, not what you expect. So I just try to do a lot of those things where we can have the wherewithal for God to bless us accordingly. And again, be able to usher those resources back into the kingdom.
Wow. So Bishop, if I would ask you, I'm putting you on the spot here, what is Bishop's sense of calling, your mission statement, your calling statement? What would you say? Because other pastors listening to our broadcast right now, that they want, they aspire to be a pastor or a leader that is multifaceted, that does more than just think of the one-dimensional man. What is the thing that drives that for you?
You know, Patrice, I've looked at that very question several times, and I believe God has really called me to be a connector. Mm-hmm. He has placed me in so many areas and to meet so many people. And thank God that I've been able to maintain a level of integrity and a good reputation. And so God has allowed me to be in a space where I'm able to connect people to help them accomplish their dreams. So I'm kind of like a dream builder.
And you're right about that, because I've known you for several years now. And what I appreciate about you is that you're not greedy and not selfish. You connect very generously, and you try to understand what others are bringing to the table and try to create as win-win as possible. We don't find that a lot. You're very generous with your willingness to connect. You make time for that. As busy as you are, it seems to be a priority for you.
I learned a long time ago, and a good friend of mine, he shared the principle with me that if you're willing to empty yourself, then all you simply do is make room for God to refill or overflow you.
Amen.
And so it is when we harbor or when we cling to what God has given us. A lot of us are oftentimes reservoirs instead of funnels where blessings can pass through us. And I've learned that a long time ago, that oftentimes God wants to get a blessing to you, but if he can't get a blessing through you, then it just won't happen.
Wow. Well, Bishop, all your achievements is built on the shoulders of your father. Would that be an overstatement?
No, it wouldn't. My dad was a great man. I stand on his shoulders proudly. I wish he was here with us.
And he was an entrepreneur.
He was an entrepreneur.
Pastor entrepreneur, I mean.
When I was a kid, I mean, living in our first house back in Daytona Beach, Florida, we had a home, but right next to it was a six one-bedroom apartment complex. And my dad would often tell me, son, when I first started, I built six units and I stayed in one. And after I paid these units off, I ended up building my house. And now the six units help to fund the filling station. We called it a filling station back then, but we're talking about a gas station.
Wow.
Then he had a TV and a furniture and appliance store. All of that was just right there on the corner. On the top of that, he owned what was called the Busy Bee Cafe.
Wow.
24-hour fast food place located right up the street from Bethune-Cookman University. So entrepreneurship is kind of in my blood. You know, it's all I've always been exposed to, and just looking for ways to really, really be creative in producing funds and resources.
Bishop, somebody listening would say, I didn't have a father like that. Don't have that in my DNA. Didn't get the privilege that Bishop had to have a head start or even to have the mentoring by your dad. I can't do what he does. What would you say?
Well, I would say, and I don't mean to, this is not a promotion for BE, but I think if you can be in an ecosystem or be in an atmosphere where creativity is happening and you're around business-minded people, then that's contagious. Mm. And the Nehemiah Project Biblical Entrepreneurship is a great place for you to be involved. And you will soon, after you study the word and find out your giftings, you'll find your place of connection.
Mm, well said. With that, Bishop, when you got involved with Biblical Entrepreneurship and Nehemiah Project, you kind of challenged me to bring it back to where we all began. Me and our listeners, you know that Nehemiah for 10 years served only the African-American community. Not because that was our sole mission, but because that's where we were. Washington, D.C., PG County, we serve African-Americans. And when we went national, we kind of began to work with more than just African-Americans and soon work less and less with African-Americans. And so that's been a challenge for us. You said, Patrice, you got to go back to your roots, and then you challenged with the Urban Initiative. Why was that so important? What did you see that we didn't see, or what was that insistence from you?
Well, first of all, let me commend you on your work. I think it's absolutely stellar. And when I first saw your material, your curriculum, I thought it was professional, cutting edge. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at your audience and I'm not seeing many people from the urban community. And I'm saying that even though you have a great model, that this model is still worthy to be shared with the urban marketplace. And the reason why I say that is because that's where the help is needed most. Mm, mm. So God visited me in a dream, and I shared that dream with you and just kind of challenged you to find a way to present your model in such a way where it could, in fact, be shared with the urban marketplace. And you did. And my whole premise was, you know, they talk about where all of the ships rise, you know, water rises all ships. And I would say, well, that's not necessarily true. If mm-hmm. levees are involved, you can be on one side of the levee and mm-hmm. see the water rise and not be a part of that raise. And so I wanted to just, you know, speak into your spirit so that you would have a conviction, if you will, so that you would reach back and help the people who in fact need it most.
And you did, Bishop, and we're still trying to, we're not there yet, but we're pushing for it, and thank you for your support in that. Bishop, recently you were made Archbishop. First, what does that mean? And what's the implication to your new responsibility?
Yes, the International Bishops Conference Incorporated was led by Archbishop Leroy Bailey out of Hartford, Connecticut. I have served in that organization for over a decade, and I assisted him as the coadjutor for the last 8 years. So I assisted the Archbishop, who is the bishop over all of the bishops that are associated with the International Bishops Conference, both here and in Africa and in other areas as well. And so Archbishop had been telling me, son, listen, that I'm ready to pass the mantle. I am ready to move on. I believe that God has called you to this area, and I want to support you. I want to follow you. I believe that you have what it takes to move this organization to the next dimension. So on December 12th of 2017, we had what is called a passing of the mantle service at our church here in Orlando. And about 20 bishops came from all over the United States to be a part of this service. Some would call it an elevation service. Some would call it the passing of the mantle service. So I am now, in fact, Archbishop and presiding prelate of the International Bishops Conference. So my responsibility, my responsibilities have everything to do with supporting bishops in their diocese, helping to develop their diocese. That's the churches that are under each one of the bishops, as well as coordinating a space for the bishops, a safe space for the bishops for fellowship, for training, for accountability, and for also looking at partnerships that would further the cause of Jesus Christ, where we would propagate the gospel throughout the world. So those are my immediate job where I'm focused on right now. And it's very, very interesting, and it's a fun ride.
Wow. I love it. Bishop, let's close with two things. Let's first go with family. You have a beautiful wife.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You do too.
Thank you so much. Your wife is also an entrepreneur.
My wife is an entrepreneur, and my wife is really, I'm so proud of her. She's, God has just really been kind to our family, and especially kind to my wife. Mm. She has a ladies' boutique, but I believe what was the tide that turned her business was when she started specializing in simply making skirts for ladies, and initially daughters and moms.
Wow.
Called the Mommy and Me skirt.
Wow.
And she did that by just simply spending time with our grandchild, Zaria. They made a skirt, matching skirts, and posted it on Facebook. And all of a sudden, orders start coming in. And all of the accessories she was carrying in her dress shop, now she's really focused on all of the skirts. So she has blown this thing up tremendously and doing really well.
Wow. And then you have, I keep seeing the boys, but you have more than three boys.
I have.
And one girl. Is that right?
Yes.
You got four children.
Right. It's actually, we have five kids.
Oh, five kids.
So we have, the way we term it, we have three that live at home. and we have our daughter and son that are out of the house, if you will. It's like they're in their 30s.
Oh, wow. Rest
in their 20s or below.
You a young man. You got to start young, brother.
Well, I'm a part of a blended family. But I'm excited because my daughter, Patrice, I don't know if you, well, you do know this. She has a business called the Makeup Bar. And she is doing incredible things. Her concentration and her specialty is eyebrows. And now she's doing the tattooing. Wow. Of the eyebrows. And boy, when I tell you, you can hardly get an appointment with
her. Oh, my goodness.
So I'm praying for her to learn how to scale.
That is awesome.
But
I'm going to try to recruit her.
Hey, you need to.
And that's an area that Asians have controlled for now.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that an urban entrepreneur
who's
really tapping that space.
I mean, I don't have a desire to get my eyebrows done, but I tell you, when I see her work and the quality and the level of excellence, it's absolutely amazing. And so she has really been thriving in that area. And then, of course, my son, Jonathan, which is my youngest, he learned how to make bow ties by hanging out with my wife over the summer.
He actually won the business plan competition at the YBE.
Yes, he won that competition.
He's a poster child for the young biblical entrepreneur. And his bow ties are in Mexico now.
Yes.
Both in Malaysia. People are talking about it wherever I go.
Well, he's a great kid, and love him so much. And he's just eager. Very meticulous, serious-minded to be.
He's got his dad temperament too.
Is that why?
Quiet soul, but dangerous.
He's doing it.
He's sharp. But then last year, your son, one of your sons, I'm not sure if where he falls, the one who does, he's a musician.
Uh-huh.
He came to Nehemiah Week and blessed us. Let me tell you something. This child, he was on time. did his work, went above and beyond the call of duty. As a matter of fact, he got women trying to hook. He had some of our folks trying to, you know, mom had to say, wait a minute, my boy, he got a girlfriend. But fine young man, good looking, and just gifted, talented,
yeah,
lots of humility.
Very professional. He's now our minister of music at the church.
Wow.
So, of course, he's been with me all of his life. He attends the University of Central Florida. He just changed his major to music.
Wow.
And so he has a business background, but music is his passion. And I am very hopeful that he'll connect the two. But he is a great guy, and he's doing it.
Awesome. Well, Bishop, as we close here, you've been able to do all this while preserving and maintaining a wonderful family. I'm sure it's not been easy. You talked earlier about balance, but what artists are listening and saying, we want to be like Bishop. What advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, you might want to pray about that. You know, I don't know if you see a picture of me, but I do not have any hair now. Years ago, I used to have hair, but nonetheless, I just believe that whether it's being like Bishop, I would encourage you to be the person God wants you to be.
Amen.
That to really search the Word of God and know your purpose, develop a relationship with Him, be sensitive to His move, and allow Him to birth within you the talents and the gifts. Because all of those talents and gifts are given to you to use to His glory. So now you just have to connect the dots and know how to do that. So my suggestion to the person who might want to be like Archbishop or be like Bishop, to take this advice, be the person that God has called you to be, because I really believe you'll be happy being you.
Wow. Everybody. The Archbishop Allen Wiggins. Is this your first interview since Archbishop?
You know, it might be.
Guys, we got it first.
Yeah, they concentrated on that.
Yes. Well, Archbishop, you're going to have you come back because you're an accomplished musician as well. There's a whole lot we didn't talk about. We got to do it next time. But I hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and I hope you were inspired. Bishop, where do they go to learn more about your ministry?
They can go to our website at www.thehopechurch.org, or if they want to know about the bishopric and the International Bishops Conference, they can go to ibishop.org.
Bishop, one question. Are there links from those places where they can get the breath aspect of what you do?
Yes.
Okay,
if
perfect.
They go there.
Perfect. Well, I hope you've been inspired and you've enjoyed the podcast. Hey, if you want more information about how we can come alongside you and work with you to become all that God has called you to be as a pastor or as a leader and an entrepreneur, visit us at nehemiahproject.org, nehemiahproject.org. You can also receive this podcast on a weekly basis on your iPhone by just going to iTunes, or you can listen to it on our website. God bless you. And my prayer for you is this, that the Lord will give you the grace and favor to steward that kingdom company that's called you to carry forward. That one day you can hear those wonderful words. Well done.
Thank you for being with us today. We're glad you could join us. If you'd like more information or other resources, please visit our website, www.nehemiahproject.org. God bless.